darkness. And if you woke up this morning and saw windows or looked outside and thought, man, we need a little more light this morning, I mean, what is up with these Sundays? It's like, you know, Friday's beautiful, Saturday's beautiful, and then Sunday's like gloom, right? And this is not, we're talking multiple Sundays recently when this has happened. So think bright thoughts as we think about the light of God in our life. And really, the place to start with all this is the fact that this is what God does. God is the God of light. God brings light into the darkness. And maybe you can think of multiple Old Testament passages that speak of God bringing light into the darkness. And if I ask that, what Old Testament passage comes to mind most of all of God bringing the light into the darkness? You might think the very first paragraph of Scripture. The earth was without form and was void, and darkness was over everything. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And there the first act of creation was bringing light into the darkness. And Paul will use this very image to describe the Christian experience of what happens to us with the light of Christ in our life. The God who brought the light into the darkness has spoken and brought the glory of Christ into our hearts and into our lives. So we can relate to that. You have psalms, multiple psalms that speak of God shining his light on us in the darkness. You could just do a word search there for light or shine or darkness in the psalms. But Psalm 80, verse 3, restore us, O God, let your face shine that we may be saved. Shine on us, God, the light of your face. And here's a messianic passage about what Jesus would do. Isaiah 9, this is quoted in Matthew about Jesus, but it speaks about this terrible time of gloom and darkness for people up in Galilee, but something's coming. Isaiah 9, verse 1, but there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the latter time, he's made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Hear about Jesus and his teaching and his ministry up there in Galilee, where he was from and where he did most of his teaching. And so the light of Christ coming into Galilee and shining in the darkness. And then a New Testament passage, we'll dig into this more in a minute, but 1 John 1, verse 5, this is the message, this is the gospel. We've heard from him and proclaimed to you, God is light. And in him, there's no darkness, none at all. No darkness in God. He is righteous, he is holy, he is light. And he shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot conquer the light of God. Well, our theme of the year, this year, has been being the light. Our text has been the Sermon on the Mount, but the Sermon on the Mount is not a theme. It's a passage of Scripture. The theme has been being the light. And so we've tried to be tying in things from the Sermon on the Mount to being the light and being the example to others. And when we talk about letting our light shine, that is an idea of shining, not, you know, for no one to see, but for people to see. When we take this idea from Matthew 5, it's definitely this idea of being an example to others. Jesus said in Matthew 5, you're the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand. And it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they can see your good works and not glorify you, but that they would glorify your Father who is in heaven. So as we are trying to be the light of the world, and I'm not sure what's going on with that. Maybe we'll figure that out. But we're trying to be the light where we are shining so that people see us, not for our glory, but for God's glory. So it is this idea of being an example for others. What about Philippians 2, where Paul takes the same idea of being the light in the darkness? And he says in Philippians 2, do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. So, you know, here's this idea of we're supposed to behave ourselves in a good way. Don't be grumbling, don't be disputing. And so that you can be blameless before other people, shining like stars in the darkness of the night, shining in this crooked and twisted generation so that people can see that. Now, Jason, I'm going to try one thing that might help. It helps. Okay, good. Okay, forget the last 45 seconds. Let's move on. So here's what we need to see is, yes, it is a biblical idea. It is a good idea that when we live as Christians, people are going to see us. Jesus said in Matthew 5 that a city set in a hill can't be hidden. If we're a city of God, you can't hide Jerusalem, right? Oh, yeah, pretend like it's not there. They're going to see you. But we need to avoid this temptation. If we're not careful, we might start thinking that the most important work that we do is the work that others see us doing. It becomes our focus on me doing the right things, mostly when other people can see me. I want to talk about two temptations we need to avoid with this. Temptation number one is that we need to care more. I'm sorry. Temptation one is that we fall into this. We care more, much more about things when we're trying to be an example to non-Christians. I felt that. I'm guessing you felt that, right? That you're doing your things and you're living your life trying to be what you're supposed to be, but then now there's someone else. Oh, I'm trying to be a good example of them. I'm trying to show them that I'm a Christian, and then now my behavior starts to be even better. Well, because I'm trying to elevate that because I'm in front of other people. Or what if when you're in front of Christians, you're with Christians, well, maybe that elevates my behavior a little bit more too, because I kind of care about what they think, and it wasn't good enough just to be who I'm supposed to be otherwise. But now that people can see me, let's put a little more effort into this. When we talk about shining the light and being an example, your mind can go to all kinds of different things. Your mind may go to your life where on the job you need to act differently. You speak differently. Maybe the language on the job is what separates you from other people or whatever it is. Maybe your mind goes to being here at church. I'll tell you where my mind almost always goes when it talks about being the light and being the example is my kids. I mean, I surely didn't think this way 15 years ago, but now that I have kids, I'm like, my kids have got to be good kids so that people can see we're Christians, you know? And obviously there's more to the Christian life than that. Wherever your mind goes, don't fall into this temptation of, well, now my kids need to be extra good because there's other people around. We don't want to be that way. The light needs to be real. And that needs to be real in every part of my life, not just when other people can see me. And I like this idea. My example to others needs to be a snapshot, not a show. You know, see what I mean by that? A snapshot is just you're living your life and you're doing it every day, every hour of the day. And if someone sees you for a second, someone gets a glimpse and a snapshot of your life in Christ, that's fine because you're doing it whether they see you or not. Snapshots are good, but don't let it be a show. You're not putting in a show for other people to see that, you know, oh, we better improve ourselves now. Temptation number two is sometimes we care too much how people might respond. We start doing things in certain ways so that people will respond in certain ways. Well, if I said that, my boss would fill in the blank, da-da-da-da-da. And so we start thinking, well, I'm not sure I should be the light here. I'm not sure I should do this or say this, because people aren't going to like that. And if I do this with my kids and other moms see it, they're going to think I'm crazy or whatever that is. Well, don't give in to that temptation either. We need to shine the light because it's God's light. We need to be who we need to be, and people are going to respond how they may. We can't control that. That's what we need to remember, is we can't control other people's response. Now, there's certain of us, and we have talked about this before, a small percentage, let's say 10%. Maybe 10% of us need to work on being sensitive, being thoughtful. Look, put yourself in their shoes. 1 Peter 3, right? Speak the gospel in respect because, you know, you want other people to see that you're respectful and kind and good. Okay, so 10% of you keep working on being as thoughtful and sensitive as you need to be. The other 90% of us care less what people think, care less how people are going to respond to you. You can't control that. Be the light. Be what you need to be. Be who you need to be. we see this principle of that what I do is sometimes going to be received positively with people, but we can't control that. When I'm Christ-like, sometimes it's going to bring negative things back on me. We have the Beatitude number 7, blessed are the peacemakers, for they'll be called sons of God. Oh, we like that, right? We talked about this year, and in that last lesson on the Sermon on the Mount, we talked about being peacemakers, reconciling relationships, this life of love that we're supposed to live. But Rhonda came up to me after that last lesson, and she said, you know, JD, it's true, we need to be peacemakers, but Jesus also said he brings a sword between people. I said, you're absolutely right. Isn't that the next Beatitude? Because right after blessed are the peacemakers, Jesus said, blessed are those who are persecuted. Wait a second, Jesus, I like the whole peacemaking thing, but what about this whole bringing the sword thing? What about being persecuted? And that's the thing. If I am Christ-like, sometimes that's going to restore relationships as a peacemaker. When I'm Christ-like, sometimes that's going to bring about persecution. And I can't control that. I can't manage that. There's no damage control that I can overly work in my life. I just need to be Christ-like. And sometimes that'll bring about a positive peacemaking result. And sometimes that'll bring about people not liking that. And I need to be okay with that in Christ. So instead of thinking about being the light only in the context of when others can see me, avoiding these temptations of, well, yeah, well, someone's around, you know, make sure I'm who I need to be, and how's this going to result, and how's this person going to respond to that? I want us to zoom out and think, don't just think about shining the light, like Matthew 5 says. I want us to think about being the light, which means even more than that. So let's zoom out a little bit about being the light. Our goal is bigger than just being a light when other people can see us. If I'm going into my closet to pray in secret, like Jesus says to do, that's working on being a light of Christ. I'm not shining the light because literally no one knows about it. So here's the point. I want us to think about this idea today. Being the light is about bringing God into any place of darkness in this world. Don't just be thinking about bringing the light when other people can see it. Whenever there's any kind of darkness, and that includes my heart, bring God into that. Bring Christ into that. Bring the light, the holy and good light of God, into any place of darkness we come across. So what that means is at work, bring the light of God into any darkness that you come across there. Be the light. Speak as you should speak. Talk as you should talk. If you need to expose something, expose something. Bring the light of God into every corner of your workplace. When you're with Christians, when we're talking today and afterwards, we're trying to encourage each other and connect with each other. Bring the light of God into every moment of that. When you're with non-Christians, bring the light of God into every moment of that. And any darkness that's there, shine the light of Christ. And then in my own heart, bring the light of God, I must do that, into any darkness that I see in myself. That's our goal. To be the light is to be the light everywhere, whether it's my own heart or in any situation I find myself in. Basically, what we're saying is this: for the light to be real, for it to be a snapshot, not a show, for the light to be real, we need to let Christ's light deep into my heart. Step one is going to be letting that light shine into me. Getting Christ's light into the dark corners of my heart. This is Matthew 5. I don't think we overly hit on this when we were there. But Jesus says, first, be the salt. Be the salt of the earth. That means changing who I am. And only then can I be the light. Change who you are first. Be that salt so that that light is authentic. It's real. It's your changed person of who you are. So if you're still in 1 John chapter 1, let's read verses 5 through 10. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. This is the message that we've heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he's in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Let's see how these verses here apply to what we've been talking about. Number one, of course, God is light. He is holy. He is good. He shines into this world to bring us light and holiness and righteousness. There's no darkness in God. And so he wants his light to be everywhere in this dark world. So if we want to have a relationship with God, we need to walk in the light. He says you can't be walking in darkness and think you have a relationship with God. He doesn't mean that you're perfectly Christ-like yet. We've talked about this recently. Paul himself said, I'm not yet perfected. So I may not be perfectly Christ-like today, but I can walk in the light today. I can be giving my life to Christ 100% and putting off sin and growing in him and doing what's right. 1 John says later, it's those who practice righteousness who are righteous. Don't think you can be practicing unrighteousness and living in sin and have a relationship with a holy God. God is light. So we've got to walk in the light. But as we look inside of us, we still have darkness that God needs to shine on. He says it a couple different ways. Verse 80 says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And then if you say, well, I've never sinned, that's verse 10. You think you haven't sinned, you know, Jesus didn't need to die for me. Well, then you've made God a liar. Clearly his word is not in you. I wish I could say there was no darkness in me. I wish I could say that I was perfectly Christ-like. That's not true today. I can work on it, though. And Christ can shine and change me and mold me, conform me to the image, his perfect image. That's what Lee talked about last week. And so, this is verse 9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we confess. We don't come as perfect people. We come as people who God is still working on. I'm walking in the light as best I can. And I confess my sins and God forgives me and changes me and helps me. And this is the life of a Christian. There's an old illustration that's often used with this passage in terms of growing in our relationship with God and the Word and these things. If you were to look around you in the air in this room, how dirty does this air look right now? Well, I see nothing. I don't see any, you know, smoke or, you know, billows of some particles, some pollution. I don't see anything. But if we can imagine that instead of a gloomy day outside, what if through that window the sun was shining brightly? I mean, just one of those times where it's just directly, you see that sunbeam come across, and you were to look through that sunbeam, what would you see in this room? Would the air look quite as pure? Well, this has happened in your house, right? I mean, the air is filled with, you look at that and you go, gross. Like, I'm constantly breathing in like thousands of gross, floaty things all the time, and I don't even think about it. And that's exactly what happens. Okay, so what's the point of that illustration, right? I say this happens in your house. Your house is surely, you know, perfectly clear of all those kinds of things, right? What's the point of that illustration? You know, I feel like I'm pretty righteous. I feel like I'm pretty good. I'm really doing a good job as a Christian. And then I get some more light. And the light of God shines. What happens when we get closer and closer to the light of God? We get closer and closer to his word. We see more and more. We start seeing more and more of the pollution in ourselves. Of all those things we didn't even see before, wow, that's been going on the entire time. As we get closer to a God of light, we're going to see more and more. And then what we have to do is resist this temptation to ignore that. Ooh, I read that Bible verse, or preacher said whatever, I'll ignore that for a while, or I'll try to cover that up. We have to resist the temptation to hide our sins. He says in verse 10, if you think you haven't sinned, clearly, you don't know God. You don't know his word. So instead, verse 9, confess your sins and deal with those. And like we talked about it from the book of James, persevere in the gospel. When you see something hard God wants you to do, persevere in that. Stick with the word of God. Let that keep working on you in your life. And so what we see in this principle is sin likes the darkness. If God is light and sin is darkness, sin likes staying in the dark. And I want to think about some different manifestations of this in our life and in our conscience. From the very beginning, sin and then hiding sin has been going together. Right? This is Genesis 3 stuff. Adam and Eve don't have shame. They're having normal, open, good conversation with God, and they sin. They realize they're naked, and they instantly cover themselves. They hide from God. Where are you? Adam blames Eve. Eve blames the serpent. No one's taking responsibility. No one's being open about this. Sin brings this shame. Sin brings this, I want to hide. It destroys relationships. So sin and hiding and damage to these open, good relationships have been happening from the very beginning. The shameful, wrong nature of that sin, you can't contain that. You can't keep that nicely tied up in a little bottle. Sin brings this damage and brings this shame and this hiding of it. It makes us want to hide it. We want to hide it from God. I don't want to be open with God about this. Let's all forget about this. It makes me want to hide it from other people. It makes me want to hide it from myself, to deceive yourself, as we just saw in 1 John. We want to hide it from everybody. We can't do that. Blessed is the man who gets his sins forgiven. David will say in Psalm 32, you confess it, you bring it to the open, you don't hide it anymore, and bring the light of God into that situation. That's where healing begins. But because of sin and because of its shame and this hidden nature of it, that's why we tend to want to be secret with our sins. We tend to want to keep that hidden and not expose it out there. This is a little kind of a preview for our Job study in just a minute here. Job 24, verses 13 to 15. Job's talking about the wicked. And he says in Job 24, verse 13, there are those who rebel against the light, in all its implications, who are not acquainted with his ways and do not stay in its paths. The murderer rises when? When does the murderer get up? Before its light, that he may kill the poor and the needy. And in the night, he's like a thief. The eye of the adulterer also waits for twilight. When does the adulterer sneak out of his house to go to his business? When it's dark, so that no eye will see me. He veils his face. Do you see that nature of sin and darkness and hiding, and you don't want it to be open? It's a full package. And those things all go together. And so that's why there's so many Bible passages about Christians. They need to be people of the light and people of the day. And let's see how the Scripture talks about this. If you're in the auditorium class, you just covered 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 4 through 8. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 4, but you're not of the darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We're not of the night or of the darkness. So then, let us not sleep as others do. Let us keep awake and be sober. Those who sleep, sleep at night. Those who get drunk are drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. See how all these things kind of go together? Why do people do all these sins at night? Why is it that we have this sense of, you know, if you're out at night and no one really knows what you're doing in the darkness, you're kind of up to no good. Can you imagine if, you know, I'm talking with one of you guys afterwards, like, hey, you look a little tired. Did you not sleep well last night? He's like, oh, I didn't get to bed till like 4 in the morning. Oh, really? What? He's like, yeah, me and my buddy, we're just out kind of hanging out and driving around till 3, 4 in the morning. What? You were doing what? Like, why would you be doing that? That's not a Christian life, to just be, you know, out hanging out, just kind of up to nothing, just kind of in the night, driving around. That's not good. That's not the kind of life you want to be living as a Christian. So we get that. We get that when someone tells us. So let's see that maybe in our own life in some other way. What is it in the darkness hiding away from the light that I might be doing in my own life? Look at what we see here in 1 Thessalonians 5. Christians should not be sleepy like people of the light. He just said that. Don't be tired. Be awake. Be alert. Wake up spiritually. People of the night are sleeping. You need to be smarter than that. Be spiritually awake. Be spiritually aware. Don't be drowsy. There's a devil prowling like a roaring lion trying to eat you, devour you. Wake up to that. He says, don't be drunk like people of the night. You know, you don't know what's going on. People at night just getting drunk, people partying, don't really care what's going on. Be serious. Be watchful for spiritual things. Don't be up to no good. Be clothed with the armor of faith and hope and love. Put on that armor. And then be open. Don't be trying to do these hidden things in darkness. Be of the light. Let the light of God into every part of your life. There needs to be an openness about our lives. If we're going to be people of the light, people of the day, that we're characterized by the light, the holy light of God in every part of my life, be people of the day. And that means an openness about my life. Ask some very specific questions here. Can you show your spouse, your husband or your wife, or can you show your parents your cell phone? I'm just hand it over and say, yep, I'm anything on here you can look. You can look at my pictures, you can look at my call history, you can look at my texts, you can look at my apps, you can look at my history, my web browser. Yep, it's yours, because I've got nothing to hide. Can you do that? Can your friends explore your laptop? Same thing. Yep, just whatever's on here. You're welcome and able to look at that. Could the elders look at your credit card bill? You know, if they were looking at how you're spending your money, are there shameful things there that you'd want to hide? Or could the elders look at that? Or other things. Are there things in your life you're trying to keep hidden? You're trying to make sure people don't know about things you don't want others to find out. That's not the life of a Christian. Hiding things, you know, closes. How many times does Paul talk about, I'm open with you, Thessalonians. I'm pouring out my heart to you, Corinthians. This is my life. And we're not going to do things in shame and in the closet in the corner. We're open, and I'm not going to bring this money to Jerusalem myself. Bring your people with me so that everyone knows that we're doing the right thing here. That kind of idea is what the Christian life needs to be. This is the kind of thing that Jesus said in John 3. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his work should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out with God. We have two options. When the light comes, do we run from the light? You know, we all are thinking the same thing. What's the thing? You shine the light, you turn on the light, and then psh, they scatter, right? Roaches. Again, not that you would have that in your house. No dust. No vermin. The darkness hates the light. The light came into the world in Jesus Christ, and people didn't want it. People loved the darkness because their works were evil. When you do wicked things, you hate the light and don't come to the light. That's option one. Hate the light, run from it, run from God. Option two is live a life of integrity. So that what you do is in the light, you're trying your best. This is 1 John 1 kind of stuff. No, I'm not perfect, but I confess my sins. And I seek to be better every day, and I'm seeking God with all of my heart to be everything that He wants me to be. Whoever does what is true comes to the light, so they can be clearly seen that His works were carried out in God. So come to the light. You can show God, you can show yourself, you can show others. You're doing your best to walk in integrity in everything that you do. And so we need to shine that light into the darkness of this world, including into our lives and into our heart, to every part of our life. And we see then this parallel passage to 1 Thessalonians 5 that maybe you guys talked about in Thessalonians. Paul says so many similar things in Romans 13 to what we just saw in 1 Thessalonians 5. And this was our scripture reading this morning. It says, besides this, you know the time. The hour has come for you to wake up. Wake up spiritually. Wake from your sleep. Salvation is near. It's nearer now than when we first believed. The night is far gone, the day is here. So cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Remember before he said put on the armor of faith and hope and love, and here he says put on this armor of light. Cast off the works of darkness, put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daytime, daytime living, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, and quarreling and fighting and hatred and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. So cast off those works of darkness. I'm trying to think about this, getting ready for this lesson. What a picture of it's like you've been wearing these clothing of darkness and you throw that off. Remember blind Bartimaeus? He hears Jesus coming. Son of David, have mercy on me. Heal me. I'm blind. Heal me. And he casts off his cloak and he runs to Jesus. We need to cast off, throw off the garments of sin and filth, throw that off and put on the armor of light. What's the difference between the armor of light and what's the more typical Bible picture is arrayed in holy garments, right? White linen, right? The saints come to God dressed in pure white linen. But here he doesn't say the white linen of righteousness and holiness. He says the armor of light. Same picture, except you don't wear linen into the battlefield. You put on armor to fight. So put on that armor of light to fight. Cast off those old deeds. Put on the clothing of light, this armor of light. It's a beautiful picture. As I was thinking about this passage, it's a strong picture. Put on this new self that's so strong. It's an armor. It's a breastplate and things for your arms and things for your head and a shield and a sword. So you can fight this week, this armor of light, and it is strong with God's strength. And so he says, don't give opportunities to sin. He says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Put on him as clothing. Put on Jesus and make no provision for the flesh that you can give into those desires. Don't give yourself opportunities to sin. You got to be smarter than that. You got to be honest with yourself when you're making provisions to sin. We spoke a minute ago about vermin. If you're trying to get rid of the rats, you don't leave a little bit of rat food out still. Well, I really want to get rid of these rats. Well, I'll leave this little thing in the corner so that just maybe a couple will come back at night. Now, if you're trying to get rid of the vermin, you get rid of all the provisions. You don't provide for that at all. You don't give food for those things. We're trying to get rid of sin. We don't leave anything for sin to come back to. We don't leave that door a little bit open. We close the door and we lock it and we throw away the key. Paul says elsewhere, you crucify the old man. You kill that old self to get rid of it. Don't make any provisions. Don't leave that door a little bit locked. Don't feed the rats. Be smarter than that. When you know that this could be a possibility for sin, leave no provision for the flesh. So this week, live your life wearing the armor of light. Clothe yourself in Christ with his armor to fight your battles this week and cast off the garments of darkness. Don't hide it under a bushel. Wear these bright new clothes of Christ. Be the salt. Clothe yourselves with light. And then what's been our theme this morning? Bring that everywhere. Everywhere you go, with Christians, with non-Christians, with people around you, with people aren't around you, be that light. And stop caring how people respond to Christ. When you're wearing Christ, wear Christ. And don't be bothered how people respond to that. Don't try to control people's reactions. Stop trying to worry too much how people are going to respond. Sometimes that'll be a peacemaking. Sometimes it'll bring persecution. And that's fine. That's what it means to wear Christ. Just bring Christ into the darkness. And wear that light. Wear that holiness. Wear Jesus Christ this week. That's our lesson. What can we do to encourage you this morning? Well, we've had some words from Scripture. I hope that that's helped you, maybe given you some things to think about. We're going to have a Bible class in a minute. I hope you stick around for that, where we can help bring more of the light of God's Word into our life. We're going to talk, if at all possible. I hope we can talk to each other and encourage each other and build up one another in our faith and love in Christ Jesus. But maybe you need to make things right. If there's things you need to confess, we want to help you with that. If you need to talk to us so we can help you with sin. If you need to become a Christian, you need to put on Christ. We want to help with that too. If we can baptize you, if we can talk with you and pray with you to help make your life right in any way, we want to do that, maybe even now, while we stand and sing a song of invitation.
There is a place on the quiet ground, near the home of the Lord, a place near to the heart of the Lord. Oh, Jesus, that we need to set us the heart of the Lord. Oh, God.
I'd like for us to take just a few minutes as we take this opportunity to think about our giving back to the Lord, and would like to just make a few quick thoughts in regards to that. If you're visiting with us, we do not expect you to give. If you choose to do so, there's baskets in the back. We have chose to make that the means in which we are, opportunity in which the way that others can give monetarily. So when we think about that, through the last few weeks, some of us have had opportunity in the book of Job to talk about this principle of retribution. And that idea